Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
B-Pod Studios.
Toucher. I didn't get to be a sports expert until 2009.
Rich.
You would think you were at a children's birthday party.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5. The Sports Hub.
You target one guy, and you're in trouble. You know, you're hopeful when you do target players that you're going to acquire, you know, the very specific player that you would like to have. But you better have a bucket, you know, of players. And that's really just a general statement, you know, in terms of you get too target-specific, too focused on one particular guy, and he goes, you get disappointed, you can't regroup to figure out where you're supposed to go next. But we landed, you know, two players that we feel, you know, addressed needs for us, and that's what's most important.
Andy Reid talking about the situation in Kansas City. Very Andy Reid-esque, his voice.
Until he says a boot.
A boot. Mm-hmm. That's right. 98.5 The Sports Hub. And in studio is Ty Anderson. He covers the Bruins, among other things, for the 98.5thesportshub.com app and website.
New podcast, too, right?
Yeah, myself and Matt doing it called The Sidelines. Couldn't come up with a name. We were like dying to come up with a name. And it's hard because sidelines, really no hockey. There's really no sidelines in hockey. It's like the bench.
There, I got a teaser for you. I have to talk to hires up, but there is a certain well-known baseball player that would like to do weekly hits on the show and perhaps have a Beasley podcast.
Hey.
So I'm putting that out there.
Nice. Jared Saltalamacchia. Bring him on.
Dude.
Did I spoil it?
Lenny DiNardo.
Tony Pena.
Not Lenny DiNardo.
It is Lenny DiNardo.
Juan Berenguer.
Jose Canseco. Just his Twitter. He just reads his tweets.
Well, he had Jose Canseco on a few times. He got in a fight on our show.
Honest to God, Rich got Jose Canseco a job. That's what we were doing. We got him a job with the Worcester Tornadoes, minor league baseball.
He lasted for like a week.
Yeah. I don't want to do this anymore.
Jose Canseco, we had him on the show, and like on the other line was this celebrity boxing guy who Jose Canseco had apparently reportedly, instead of showing up for a boxing match, sent his twin brother instead, and got busted.
Yeah.
And so we had this guy on the phone with Jose Canseco, and they just started yelling at each other, and to the point where, I mean, it might have been 5 minutes of them just yelling.
Okay, so I was talking to this guy, this baseball player, this ex-baseball player is like a manager guy who's very nice and lives in the area, and he was telling me his story about how I don't know if I can say the player's name, but this guy who used to be a very good baseball player used to have a truck with a big TV in it, but it faced out, and he used to play pornos on it. So, like, when he drove by you and you looked over, there was a porn playing in the front of his car.
I smell podcast. Perfect. Now, was he involved in the MILF movement like you?
I was joking about the MILF thing.
Oh,
I'm 45.
I'm just asking.
I mean, there's MILFs that are younger than me.
Yeah, that's sad.
I was driving here one day, and there was someone swerving next to me on the highway. I thought, what's going on in there? Guy was eating corn on the cob. Like, just eating corn on the cob while driving. Couldn't believe it. I was like, wow, I'm actually impressed that he's doing this right now.
I might have done something like that. Like, it doesn't matter what food it is, how awkward it is to eat it, I'll eat it while driving. I've eaten pizza while driving before, full on like sub sandwiches I've eaten in the car before.
Ooh. Well, if you get fast food, you have to eat it in the car.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the rule.
So it's funny, in the Keys, like the big road is just two lanes. And there's constantly people manically swerving. It's like everyone's drunk. And there's manically swerving all over the place.
I've had a burrito bowl in the car before. That's fairly. That's a tough one because you got to have a fork and you got to rest it on your lap and eat it with the fork. And and somehow get it into your mouth without it spilling all over the place, although it always does.
That's illegal, right? That has to be illegal.
Oh, yeah.
It's got to be.
There was an episode of It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia where Dennis is... He eats cereal on the way to work, and it's a whole situation.
But you got
to
put the cereal in the cup. You drink the cereal.
I just had the cereal in a cup.
Yep.
Just had it right there today.
It's called a shirt and leave souffle. I used to have one every single morning. Just chug your cereal on the way in, and you're good to go.
I haven't had cereal in a long time. Well, anyway, Ty Anderson's here. And, all right, so... The good news is that they got rid of the Backus contract. Let's start with the Richie move. Richie for Heinen. Why does Anaheim want to do that move straight up?
I just think that they're in a position to sell, and it makes more sense for them to have a guy who's can move around their lineup. Given what they've lost with Andre Kasha to the Bruins, ironically enough, I think that Heinen is a comp for him in terms of what he can do on the wing, his build, how he plays the game. I think that will make sense for them. And honestly, they probably just want to get rid of Brett Ritchie before, I don't know, the wheels fall off. I think that with these guys, it tends to be they're great for a while, they're good for a while, and then it's, okay, now you can't sell them for anything. So I think a change of scenery for both players was probably made the most sense.
Mm-hmm.
People are acting like Richie's going to be the savior. I would temper that a little bit. He's never hit more than 31 points. I mean, the underlying numbers are pretty good, but I think in terms of this swap, you're really just trying to hope that Richie's little things, you know, the physicality, getting to the front of the net, finishing chances in front of the net, are better than Heinen's little things, such as like the defensive zone play and what have you. Because that's a big thing that a lot of people didn't like Heinen. He didn't produce. Well, Richie's not going to light the world on fire.
Right.
He's not.
They're saying that, you know, because I don't know much about either of these guys, but they're saying that Richie fills a void and that he looked for him in the playoffs. That when you play certain teams like Washington or you play a team like St. Louis that are heavy, that this is the kind of guy that they were missing last year.
Well, we asked you about that on Friday, about it. The one thing that has not changed is the physicality. And I know that obviously he's got like a ton of hits, but is that kind of what they were looking at with this guy, is that maybe he will bring up the energy a little bit and be the one dude that, you know, you can, not one guy, but can be somebody you can rely on to make them a little like tougher of a team physically?
Yeah, I think that part is absolutely true. And when you look at sort of what they would play in the first round, could be the Islanders. That's a team that grinds you down. They win games 2-1, 3-2. And then the second round would be Tampa. Tampa has Maroon, Paquette. They added Zach Bogosian. And then the Capitals, they add Brendan Dillon. They're already a tough team with Tom Wilson and Garnett Hathaway and some of those guys they have there on the bottom of their roster on the back end. So He addresses that. He absolutely addresses that. You just have to hope that, A, he keeps the penalties to a minimum. He takes a ridiculous amount of penalties.
Now, why is that? Because I was reading that from a couple different places, is that he obviously has a ton of penalties, but he doesn't go at anyone into penalties. Is it because of sloppy play? Like, he'll trip a guy? Because he doesn't fight either, which is weird. For someone as physical as him, usually it goes hand in hand with having, you know, some fighting minutes in there, but he doesn't have any.
Well, it looks
78
like
penalty minutes, zero fights.
Oh, yeah, wow.
It looks like, if just from what I've seen, a lot of frustration. He's a guy who's easily pissed off and takes a couple shots here and there.
Yeah, he had, I think, two different misconduct. He has four misconducts in total this year. I went through and looked up all of those. Two of them were for just ridiculous cross-checks. Like, good Lord, breaking somebody's ribs kind of level of cross-check. So, yeah, he has that hot temper. I guess you want a little bit of that. I guess that's better than completely, you know, turning into a shell and hiding away, but you don't want to hit that Kadri level where it gets him in trouble, gets him kicked out of a game.
Sure.
So that's sort of, they have to temper that a little bit, but I think they want him to come in and play a little nasty because that will make that third line a little better. I think that with Coyle, they've always wanted to put a big body with Coyle and Bjork to a degree, and they haven't been able to do that. Backus was there last year. It didn't score any goals. They had some pretty good shot totals, but they never scored. And then this year, Brett Ritchie was not a good move for this team. And Sweeney joked about that yesterday and said, did I get the right Richie? I hope so. It's like, wow, okay. Not going to hold back there. I like
Wait,
that.
So you got Richie on the third line?
I do.
Okay, because some people have him on the fourth line.
That would make sense, I think, next year. I don't think Nordstrom is back next year. And Nick Richie is more Nola Chari than Nordstrom, obviously. So if you want to reunite that kind of grouping together again next year, that would be the way to do that. But I think right now he's a third liner on this team. It all depends next year what happens with Jack Stagnica. If he plays center and plays the wing, he could be the guy that's up here.
All right, we have Ty Anderson in studio. We'll continue to talk about the Bruins and what happened yesterday as the trade deadline came to an end. We'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. Line ma.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Boston sports fans start their day with Toucher and Rich.
No, Fred, come on, man. This is a family radio show.
No, it's not. Not really.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Five to Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. We have Ty Anderson. He covers the Bruins, among other things, for 98.5 thesportshub.com. You can read him on the 98.5 the Sports Hub app. We talked about Richie and what he's going to bring to the table. Now let's talk about Kasha, because of course it's pronounced Kasha, and that it's K-S-E.
K-A-S-E.
K-A-S-E. Kasha. Boo. All right, so they get rid.
What do you think it was?
Case.
Well,
I mean, of course, I thought. What did I think it was? Humperdinck. I mean, I thought it was Case. I mean, I can't. I mean, it's impossible to remember.
Dumbass.
Yeah.
How did you not know that?
Yeah, how many Anaheim games did you check out this
year? Zero.
Yeah, so thank
well,
you.
Well, I checked out part of the one the Bruins played them. Okay. That was about it.
You know, you have a photographic memory then because I can't remember everything that I see. All right, so Kasha, the return was a first-round pick. They got rid of the most of some of back. It's his salary, and the defenseman thrown in there. Okay, what does he bring to the table?
So he is a... He's an absolute animal when it comes to shooting the puck. He does he shoots the puck at a extremely high rate, one of the highest in the NHL. So injuries are a concern. He missed 42 games last year because of a concussion, then a shoulder injury. This year he missed time due to a jaw injury, and then he was out with a quote-unquote sickness for well over a week for Anaheim. So injuries are a major concern with him, but I do think that this is a guy who could really help on David Krejci's line, because David Krejci's line, in my opinion, needs a shooter, needs a guy who's going to shoot it from all over the place. DeBrusk is really good in front of the net. I do think that this year he's been looking for that extra pass for whatever reason. He's played a lot better of late. He does that annual sort of second-half surge. But I think that Kasha will really help them on the right side of that second line, just have a little more consistency, have more of a shooting threat there, because I don't think that Bjork has been that. I don't think that Kuhlman has been that. These guys are high-motor players, yes, but they don't have the offensive upside that Kasha has.
And now, how much is playing with Krejci going to help him?
Oh, it's going to be huge. And I think that's a big issue with him. People look at the totals this year, and they see that he only had 7 goals. Well, he also played with Getzlaff, he played with Henrik, and he played with their young center, their Sam Steele. He really moved around their lineup. And when he's doing that, he's being asked to do different things. You know, with Getzlaff, he's a shooter, but with Steele, he's more of a defensive zone presence there. They need him to be that line stabilizer. So I think that's a big issue with his production this year. So I think having a set center in David Krejci will help him a lot this year and bring out the best in his game.
All right. So, you know, when you think of the trade deadline and you think of a team that's got the best record in hockey and is looking to improve, you don't think generally about saving money. It usually is the opposite. Now, in both trades, they ended up saving some money. Now, that's good, obviously. They got out of a bad contract, and why not pick up some money in the Richie deal? But did they do that? Did they miss out on anyone because they wanted to save money?
They made moves that saved them money with the idea of adding a bigger move. I think that was something that they did. I talked to people, and people were telling me heading into the weekend, they were still in on Palmieri. They wanted Kyle Palmieri from the Devils. That never came about, and I think a big reason for that was the fact they didn't have a first-round pick. And do you want to trade two firsts, you know, consecutive years? You want to trade your 2020 and your 2021 in the same year? You can do it, but I think that they were trying to find the workaround in conditional seconds, lower-level picks, first-round picks that they had, you know, drafted, say a Zboril, for example, and it just never sort of materialized for them as a trade option. So I think that originally the idea was, okay, well, we're going to save some money here so that we can make a bigger move. The Backus contract, you had to get out of. It was right. It was awful. Right. I would have taken the first deal that came my way, where you didn't have to pay the majority of that contract. You don't have to pay 1.5. Yes, I don't care. Just I don't care what you get in return. That's amazing. That's a win for you. But I believe that they made that move on Friday, hoping that Kyle Palmieri or Chris Kreider or one of those guys was going to be available to them on Monday. Ultimately, didn't work out.
So ultimately, now that the trade deadline has gone by and the Bruins have improved however much they have, all the teams around them have improved as well, including, as we were talking about off the air, a lot of their potential playoff opponents. I mean, this playoff series, this playoff season, unlike last year when a lot of the favorites got knocked out and the Bruins pretty much had the path paved for them, each round could wind up being a knockdown, drag-out battle for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And they have to do their own dirty work this year, right? The Blue Jackets took care of the Lightning last year, and the Hurricanes took care of the Capitals. I don't really see that happening this year. They're going to have to, no matter what round it is, they're going to have to absolutely destroy, you know, it's going to be a 6-7 game series in the first round, I think, if they draw one of these wild card teams.
We were talking about Carolina, who loaded up yesterday. That could be your first round playoff opponent.
Yeah, I mean, they add Sammy Vatanen. He's got to be healthy, obviously, and they add Brady Shea. They add Vinny Trocheck. That's a good team already. And now you add those pieces to it. That's a formidable foe in the first round. Goaltending is still an issue for them. I mean, unless they bring the Zamboni guy, that might be a problem for them. But we'll see beyond that.
What's the deal with that? The Zamboni guy comes in, he has some success.
And then he plays better than Tuukka, then my life is a nightmare.
Yeah.
I can't handle that.
Yeah, you got a 42-year-old guy, a Zamboni driver that comes in and plays fairly well.
Afternoon show is waiting to pounce. Well, you know that, right?
Well, no, but the thing is that, like, it's a cool story until you go, hey, wait a second, this isn't supposed to happen. All right, so they have this money. Obviously, the playoffs are going to be tough. But they have this money now in this extra cap space. What are they going to do with it?
I think this absolutely helps them re-sign Torey Krug. I think that's something that's – I went into the deadline thinking, wow, that's going to be really tight. I think he's a goner. And now I see the money they've cleared out, and I go, okay, you can actually keep him. You can probably keep him, and you could make a secondary move. You could trade John Moore for some salary cap filler on draft weekend. You could probably get a third-round pick or a fourth-round pick, whatever it is, if you need that money. But this helps them in a gigantic way. You look at what was on there. If they had Backus and Heinen on their roster this time next year, it would have been $8.8 million. And now, with Kasha and Richie, that's about, I think, just under five. Maybe 4.5 or so. So you save money right then and there. So this helps them keep Krug, which I think is a major thing for this team. Over the last 4 years, he's the seventh highest scoring defenseman in the league. He's a power play dynamo. You're a power play team still. Whether you like it or not, you generate most of your offense on that power play. You got to keep him, and I think this helps them do that.
All right, so when do they make the deal? The way they operate, I mean, you saw Kreider get a contract extension. The way that they operate, do you think this gets done in the next couple months with Krug, or how do you think that's going to – because you can't let him go into free agency. So how do you think this works?
I think my feeling is that they're going to play it out until the end of the season. I have nothing really to base that off, but it doesn't seem like the sides are in a rush to get something done. It seems like they know what the team does for him and what he does for the team, and I feel like there's a mutual sort of understanding there. They're in communication with Bergeron and Krejci and Marchand all the time, saying, what do you want? How do you like this roster to look? And if you talk to those guys, they're going to say, he's a part of our leadership. He's a part of this locker room. We need to keep him. So I'm not worried about that. I think it's similar to the Braden Holtby approach, with Washington. They're not talking contract till after the season, but I think it'll be a much different outcome. You know what I'm saying? I think that they understand how important he is, and they don't have someone behind there who can step in and play his role. McAvoy doesn't have the timing, in my opinion, offensively, to be that guy, and he's also a right shot. And Grizzlick, he's a very effective defenseman, but he's not going to ever be a 50-point guy. They realize how important he is to this team. There's no one knocking on the door to bump him out of a job, in my opinion. So I think he stays here. It's just they need to find the right dollar amount.
All right, because, I mean, Krug says he wants to stay here, so we'll see if there's any kind of discount given. What about McAvoy? Now, there's a controversy about him. You know, he took forever to score his first goal. I mean, his play has been erratic. I guess it's been better of late, but what is your feelings on him?
I actually think he's played well. I know that people, they look at the goal total and they want more, but I when I watch him, I see a player who's growing the defensive zone. He's had some lapses.
But isn't, like, what you want out of him to be a scoring defenseman, isn't that you want him to kind of be the total package?
I think so, but maybe that's not him right now because of his role. I think his role with Chara, that's more of a, it's been more of a shutdown pairing this year. I think that's, he's been, when he's deployed with Torrey Krug, I think you see more of that offense. But again, they don't put that pairing together unless they're down late or they're goal hunting. So I just think that he's been asked to play a lot of different styles this year. But overall, the defensive zone game is what I'm most focused on, because I think if you're a number one defenseman, you need to be able to play in your own zone. And I think he's done that really well. I think the offense, they need to just coax it out of him a little bit more, but he's shooting. He's being more selfish, I think, with the puck, which is what I want to see.
Right.
Not passing up those shots between the circles like he was doing last year in the playoffs and early parts of this year. Just shoot it. And I think they're getting that through to him. And I think once he got that one goal, it was like, all right, here it comes. I think he's making a lot more confident plays with the puck, and he's creating things for his line mates. So I'm happy with him. I understand what people want more. They want him to be Drew Doughty. I think that we may have screwed him by saying he's going to be Drew Doughty, because by this point in his career, Drew Doughty was a 50-point guy.
Right.
So he can still be that guy, but I'm more focused on what he's doing on the defensive end versus the offensive end.
All right. So when was the last time that you and the crew went out like 20 deep to a movie?
Oh, Star Wars. We did Star Wars.
Okay.
Yeah. Which is harder. I don't like the 20 deep in the winter. I don't like it.
Okay.
Too many coats. It's too cramped. And I don't care for that.
You're the same guy stand in line forever for tickets?
Yeah, same guy. He's doing that.
Oh, geez.
He's still doing that.
So these are 20 good friends of yours?
Oh, yeah. There's a few of them I don't really know, but I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going? You don't really know what to say.
How the hell do you have 20 friends?
I don't even have like five. I used to live with a lot of these people.
Okay.
So you imagine how gross that house was. There's like eight of us living there.
I mean, believe me, I've lived in the same conditions. I mean, I've lived in a place where girls came over and left.
Really?
Like, yeah, you would pull a girl from a bar and she would come over and see how gross the place was and leave.
We just had toys everywhere. Like, it's all comic book nerds and idiots and just be toys all over the house. One day he came home with a unit with a, like a tricycle. And I was like, what is this? He's like, oh, I found this on the street. I'm like, why is it in here? He's like, oh, I like it. It's funny. And he just rode it around. I'm like, not that funny. I don't want it in my space.
So toy, in terms of what kind of toys?
Action figures. Like toy comic book guns, Hulk hands, you name it. We had it all. It was all in the house.
How old were you?
Well, I was like 23.
Uh-huh.
They were in their late 20s.
Uh-huh.
Pushing 30. So.
And so these were for display, or were these actually played with?
I think they're more for display, but if you wanted to play at our house is the place to come. If you wanted to play with action figures, oh, come on over. If you wanted to play, we also had we had too many video game consoles to count. So.
Okay.
It was a good time. It was a good time, but it was not a place you'd want to bring people.
It wasn't the Playboy Mansion, is what you're saying. It was more of a Pee Wee's Playhouse kind of vibe.
Well, we kept it all right, but the house itself was like gross. Like pipes burst once and like ruined the floor. So,
right.
Like, the floor had like half carpet, half concrete.
Oh.
We had those horrible those silverfish things. You know, like they look like centipedes, like running around the basement because it was a basement. It was a basement in the first floor. One night, the basement door was left open by somebody, and the pipes just burst. And then we were like, okay, well, this place is now, we had no water for a few days. Really just a really weird place. And then we all moved out, and the guy, like, made it super nice.
Oh, really?
It's like it doesn't look like the same place anymore.
Well, I hope, now, who got the toys?
I think the toys are dispersed among the residents.
Okay, was there, like, a meeting?
They all really belong to... you know, our friend who's in the movies, he loves Disney. That's like his, he just loves Disney. So he had a lot of Haunted Mansion figurines and what have you. They all went to his place. I went to his new place. New place is really nice.
Now, is he a guy who goes to Disney like with other adults?
Like 3 to 4 times a year he goes.
That's a crash.
I wish I had that kind of like passion for anything.
See, I think that all the time. I think I wish I liked something that much. Can't even make fun of someone for it.
No, I mean, he's, and it's great too because like we had his wedding last year and you met people at his wedding. I'm like, oh, how do you know him? Like, oh, we've gone to Disney together. And I'm like, wow, you've made friends with people by going to Disney and sharing that like love. That's amazing. If I had a wedding tomorrow, I don't know who I'd invite. I'd invite probably all you guys. Be like, oh, we do sports.
Together,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Hey. All right. Well, listen, there you go. Ty Anderson. You can read his writing up there at 985thesportshub.com, 985thesportshub app. We will be back with very controversial news out of ESPN.
98.5, The Sports Hub. Toucher and Rip.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling help. HelplineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
Sports Hub.
Don't, you know, be a diva.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Never. Yo, what's up, guys? All right, you're going to have to give me a second. I was talking about people who go to Disney World as adults with Ty.
Oh, okay.
I got a little lost in the
so, Ty, I was in the other room editing the thing we're going to be doing at 8 o'clock. Is he one of the guys who goes down on his own and just with
Ty, a friend of his. No. Ty, okay. And again, we've had this discussion on the air before, is I wish I liked something like as much as people are passionate about that. Like, people are so... And the thing that scares me is the one thing I can get lost in that I truly enjoy is when my kids are doing something. Like yesterday I had to be with my daughter, and my son was playing in a basketball game in Concord, but I couldn't go, which is exceptionally rare.
Yeah.
And so, like, I had my wife FaceTiming it, and then that didn't work, and so I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, sure.
And then, what are you gonna... And so, like... That's going to end, and then I'm going to be like, I don't like anything.
Yeah, like what do I have?
Right, exactly. Like I like watching Curb Your Enthusiasm.
You like golfing because you're going to become. You know what? You'll become stereotypical guy who golfs, but it doesn't mean it's not a stereotype for a reason.
But the thing is that ultimately that means nothing.
Well, ultimately, everything means nothing.
Not love.
I mean, really, not if you look at it.
I know, and that's the way I look at things. but not love, and also not ESPN programming, Rich.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Jemele Hill, who everyone gets so riled up about it. I'm like, why do you care what Jemele Hill has to say? I mean, does sports.
She doesn't work there anymore, does she?
No. But I don't know what she does for a living, but I always think it's very funny when people get all riled up about her because you're like, all right. I mean, who cares? But she says, this is effed up on a lot of levels. Bo and Pablo didn't deserve this. They've become in many ways the conscience of ESPN. There's a trend going on there, and if you think about it for a minute, you'll see it. So
she's talking about the cancellation.
Hang on. All right.
All right.
Don't don't bury the headline.
Okay.
So this is the conscience of ESPN. Citing poor viewership, ESPN has decided to cancel High Noon, the studio show starring Bomani Jones and Pablo Torre. The show's final episode will air. It's going to be like the last episode of MASH. Mm-hmm. The show's final episode will air at the end of March. How will they battle through all of the letters and the demands that it stay on? ESPN execs told the show's staff during the meeting earlier today that the network will air a half hour of Jalen and Jacoby. That's Jalen Rose, right?
Yes.
So if it's so, she can't be inferring that it's because there's a African American on it, because last time I checked, Jalen Rose was a black guy, and that 4 to 4:30. Maybe he's not the conscience of ESPN, uh-huh, like the Bomani Jones and Pablo Torre show, in that 4 to 4:30 hour, and that they were getting it was averaging 330,000 viewers. Oh. And I am going to tell you that there is not one person that is upset about this show going away. There is not one person who is familiar with this show. Okay, I'll tell you how I know this show. On Thursdays, my daughter has a tutor at the Newton Library. Mm-hmm. So I have 45 minutes to kill. So I'll go and get sushi and edamame for the family. And in maybe one of the TVs will have it on with no captioning.
Okay.
That is the only way that I would know that this is on.
I have to be honest, I've seen them like together, but until yesterday when I saw this story, I had no idea what the name of the show was.
Right. Well, neither did I. And that's why it's so funny the importance that they put on ESPN programming. That Jamel Hill says, this is a trend going on, and if you think for a minute, you'll see it. Okay, what's the trend? Why would I possibly care what the trend at ESPN is? What we should... Of all the things going on in the world, the cancellation of whatever the hell the name of the show was.
And I don't mean High Noon. And I don't mean to argue with her, but didn't they just give Stephen A. Smith more money than anybody in sports broadcasting?
I don't know. I honestly...
Like, isn't he the highest paid employee at ESPN?
No, the point that... The fact, but
well, it sounds like she's trying to infer that they are trying to get rid of minority hosts.
No. It sounds like the minority hosts that they are keeping are not... don't have the conscience of the current
and Pablo Torre does.
I guess
I actually don't even know anything Pablo Torre has said. I know Bomani Jones because every once in a while he'll say something controversial that gets picked up and he'll fight with somebody on Twitter.
Oh yeah, he likes to pick fights on Twitter.
He does, but I don't know anything Pablo Torre has done.
No, I don't either. But I mean, the idea that. Like, this is effed up in so many ways. Like, oh my God, the show that's on in the background. If, like, you know, oh my God, if you end up, you know, meeting a friend after work at a bar and, oh boy, no, don't take it away. This is going to ruin everyone's life. There's this attitude at ESPN that, like, this attitude of some people that anyone cares at all. No one cares.
That they're bigger than entertainers.
No one cares what goes on there anymore. ESPN at one point, and if you look back and look at Dan Patrick and Keith Olbermann, you're going to want to kill them. I mean, what was cool at the time is the hackiest garbage in the world.
Well, sure. It's as if, the Arsenio Hall show at one point was known as super duper cool. Yeah. You watch that now, and it's like, oh my God.
The Arsenio Hall show, watch the Van Damme one and the Vanilla Ice one where he gets down to with vanilla.
It's great.
With the Vanilla Ice, and he's like, yo, you know, I talked to Hammer, and, you know, he's upset, you know? Why are you and Hammer beefing? And then with Van Damme, he's like, you know, look at her, stand up, huh? Look, she don't like me. She likes the suspenders. So anyway, but there is this idea out there that, oh, my goodness gracious, not at one of the afternoon shows on ESPN. Don't take it away. You're robbing us the voices of the people of High Noon, the conscience of ESPN. You're robbing us of it. Now ESPN is willy-nilly to do whatever they want. My goodness.
It wasn't even on at noon. Like, what is it?
It was High Noon because it was like they were dueling. They were dueling about the conscience of ESPN. Give me an effing break. They show sports highlights. The conscience of ESPN. And that's like outside the lines that no one ever watched. The conscience of ESPN. Oh, no. Where's the conscience? It's the conscience of the Home and Garden Channel. It's the conscience.
That would be my lottery winning guy.
Yeah, I mean, who's going to counter my lotto
dream home?
It's the conscience of the Logo Network. I mean,
don't you talk like RuPaul that way?
Well, no. What I'm saying is, like, instead of, because I just know it from Happy Days. They still show like Happy Days.
I thought Logo Network was the drag race channel, isn't it?
Maybe it is, but all I know is that they show like Alice. So maybe that was a bad. Okay, it was the conscience of TV Land. It was the conscience of Nickelodeon. I mean, get over yourself. Are you kidding me? Stupid ESPN with these dummies that think that anyone cares. No one cares. Mike, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the biggest headline out of this whole story is that Fred gets his family sushi every Thursday.
Thank you.
No one cares about that show. No one watches it. Nothing.
No.
About ESPN is thrilling anymore.
No, nothing matters that they do. Nothing. Nothing.
By the way, like Bird, he didn't even ask who I am, what I wanted to talk about. He goes, hold on.
Really?
Well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, what's your name? Where you call from? Yeah, Mike in Nashua. Oh, none of that. I just wanted to comment on the story. And he goes, yep, whatever.
Yeah, you know what comedy wrote on the screen? Mike, comment on the story.
Yeah, well, so what? I took the story. Oh, my God, ESPN. I just go crazy. No one watches it anymore. When was the last time that something happened since the decision on ESPN that people like flipped out about? I mean, if you have to think about it, then it.
I mean, outside of their sports, like the actual broadcast of games. Man, I don't know. There's some 30 for 30s.
Okay, 30 for 30 was good programming.
Yep,
but okay, that was specialized programming. Those were documentaries. But the idea that the hosts in these dumb debate shows are anything but pablum and nonsense and a way to kill a half an hour is foolish.
And by the way, Stephen A. Smith would be the first one to tell you that.
Oh, yeah. But Stephen A. Smith is an entertainer.
Right, and he knows that.
Yeah, Stephen A. Smith doesn't think that he's the conscience of ESPN or he has to be the conscience of anything. It's not like you're the conscience of the Senate or I'm voting based on my true opinion to not following party lines. I'm following my conscience. The ESPN. I'm more concerned about, if you show the special episodes of Different Strokes to get the message out there. Don't go in the bike shop.
Dude, never go in the bike shop.
No.
And those cartoons are not appropriate.
And don't go into the country store either, Sam.
More than one thing happened to Sam?
Sam got kidnapped.
Twice?
Once.
Oh, okay.
But he got kidnapped by a family, and then the dad brought him home, and they were like, this is your brother now.
Oh, that's right. And you're supposed to accept that.
Yeah, and then finally, like the real older brother was like, all right, something's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then they kidnapped the daughter and Gary Coleman, and they put Arnold. They said, "Do you like space? Do you like space stuff?" And he goes, "Yeah." So he puts him in a room and puts on space stuff and locks the door. And then he's going to have his way with Kimberly, but somehow Mr. Drummond makes his way to the scene. Always makes his way to the scene. Like, you're too slow, Mr. D. Too slow. All right. Well, try to live your lives without High Noon.
Well, you've got another month to relish it. Tune in.
Yeah, it's true.
Slow goodbye.
Yeah. Remember when? Like all the montages.
Yeah, just, if you're going to not be around, it must be on at 4. It has to be on at 4 because my daughter's tutor is at 3:45. So it must be on at 4. So, you know, every day at 4 o'clock until, you know, the end of March, make sure you catch that because it's the conscience. And then once that's gone, it's just going to be anarchy all over ESPN. Their takes are going to be out of control. There's nowhere to go. There's no one to go. Slow down.
Yeah.
That's too hot a take. And it also sounds like very interesting programming. The conscience of the network. Oh, that's what I want. Instead of being entertained, I'd like to be lectured. All right. We will be back. Bird. Another broadcast opportunity. We do not get him these broadcast opportunities. He takes them seriously. They're on real TV. They are not done for our benefit. We will have that for you. He calls the Everett High School basketball game for an Everett public access channel. We did not book him the gig. Again, this is a broadcast we had nothing to do with. We will be right back.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or Gambling Help LineMA.org.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.
The Doug Flutie Jr. Foundation for Autism is proud to be the presenting sponsor of the Boston Marathon's Adaptive Program for Runners, creating opportunities for runners with autism and other disabilities to participate in the legendary Boston Marathon.
Hi, my name is Eric Fishman, and I'm running as a member of the Adaptive Program for Runners in this year's Boston Marathon. Thanks to the Flutie Foundation, runners like me can achieve their dreams and finish the greatest race in the world.
Woo! The Flutie Foundation promotes inclusion for all to help everyone achieve their running dreams in Boston and beyond. Visit FlutieFoundation.org to get involved.